2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, we've seen how false teachers are motivated by covetousness or a desire to be rich. And the means that they use to obtain that end of being rich is feigned words. And we said this word feigned means formed or molded words. Manufactured or fabricated words. You know, we talk about manufactured homes or fabricated homes. Here it's talking about manufactured or fabricated messages. Not messages that are derived from the Bible and convey the meaning of the Bible, but rather messages that have been formed or molded by the speaker not to bring across the truth of God, but rather words that are built in such a way as to make a false impression and to deceive the hearers. It's kind of what you see in Psalm 50, verse 16 through 19. Here's what the Lord says. But unto the wicked God saith. Right, he's addressing those he describes as the wicked. And false teachers are certainly wicked people. And he asks them this. What hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing preaching my word? Or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth. Your mouth is filthy and it's totally unfit for my holy truths. Why? Seeing thou hatest instruction, you refuse to be taught by me, yourself, and you cast my words behind thee. When I tell you what I say, you reject that. You refuse my words. And notice, you get along fine with other evildoers. When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest or agreeest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. You're breaking my laws. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. And notice what he says. Thou givest thy mouth to evil. Not to me. Not to God. To evil. And thy tongue frameth deceit. Are we talking about forming or fabricating, manufacturing? Now we're talking about a framed house, a framed message. And it's framed for the sake of deception. So the Bible tells us that these heretics use molded words that are suited to the prejudices of their hearers and that cater to the sinful humors of their hearers in order to win them over by good words and fair speeches. They deceive the hearts of the simple. False teachers put on a Christian appearance and they direct their words to the liking of their audiences by preaching messages of smooth, mild, loving, easy subjects. Never say anything that would upset anyone. Never say anything that would hurt anyone. Never say anything that would cause anyone pain. Nothing that would be convicting in any way. But only those things that would make them feel good and make them feel like they're okay just the way they are and they don't have to make any changes in their lives. And that's the way that they are so successful in catching souls. And we saw how they're like a harlot that uses her speech to seduce her victims. And what did we say was the lesson from that? It tells us that we should suspect the most those who have the most taking and lovely speech. I mean, they sound so nice. They sound so pleasant. They sound so agreeable. And yet they really don't say anything that amounts to anything, that has any substance to it, or can really bring any kind of substantial change to their hearers. They leave it where they find them, feeling that they're okay just as they are. And so we said the truth is to be proclaimed plainly and boldly, and not made to be sugary sweet. Ever drink something that was too sweet? You know, we enjoy sweet things, but when it's too sweet, it becomes very unsavory, very unpalatable. And where we left off last time, we saw that the Apostle Paul warned against those who use fancy, flattering words in their proclamations. You remember that was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians and chapter 2, beginning of verse 4. Well, I'll read verse 3 also. For our exhortation was not of deceit. Right there. He denies using deceit. Nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But, alright, here's how he did preach. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Now, if we preach in such a way as to please men and offend God, first of all, we've sinned against God. We are actually hurting our fellow men because we're not telling them what they need to hear to be saved. We're leaving them in their sins and in their lost estate. And we're also invalidating ourselves as God's servants. Paul said, if I yet please men, I am not the servant of Christ. So what are you really accomplishing? The only way you can corrupt God's word and water it down is you have some evil intent and ulterior motive that you're trying to gain by doing that. You cannot do anyone, God or man, or yourself a true service by compromising the gospel. You can't. Notice what he says in verse 5. For here's how he showed that he was pleasing God, not men. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Whereas we didn't hide behind a disguise and make ourselves appear to be something we weren't, only to take you for your money. That's the idea, cloak of covetousness. And he says the means to do that is by use of flattering words. Flattering words. Let's look at Job chapter 32. Job 32. What are flattering words? Job 32, verse 21 and 22. Here's what Elihu says. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. See, false teachers have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they'll size the person up, see what they have to offer, figure out a way to kind of cozy up to them so they can take from them what they want. Nope. Let me not accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. Don't ever let me flatter man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. God would judge me for this severely. So what is flattering? Well, the word flatter in the Hebrew means to be smooth, slippery, and deceitful, or to be seductive. Remember how they asked the teachers and the prophets, prophesy unto us smooth things? You know, prophesy us to us deceits? That's what they want. Smooth, slippery, deceitful talk. Or it means to be seductive. Just like a woman who is immoral will come to a man and use her wiles to lead him into sin. Proverbs 2:16. It says, God says, listen to me. Why? To deliver thee from the strange woman, the immoral woman, the woman who is willing to give herself to such behavior as is sinful in the eyes of God in relation to men. It describes it this way, even from the woman which flattereth with her words. Let her not take you with her words, because she will if she can. Now let's look at some verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 19 says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And it says, him that entices in the margin. If there's somebody who uses a flattering message, he's saying don't meddle with him. Stay away from him. Avoid him. Don't get involved with that person. Why not? Well, later on in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5, it says, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. All right, if you saw somebody setting up a snare or a trap, you know, putting a net down and covering it up so you couldn't be seen, would you walk onto that net and allow it to catch you? No, surely in vain is a net laid in the sight of any bird. In other words, these people are very sly and subtle and tricky. They don't put their net in plain view so you'll walk on it, because you would avoid it. And so when someone flatters you, they're trying to catch you. They're trying to entrap you or ensnare you. It's an evil motive to hurt you. It sounds so good. It sounds so nice. You like what they say as far as your flesh is concerned, but don't be taken in with it. Chapter 26 of Proverbs. Tells you what's really in their heart. Verse 28. A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it. Now, a false teacher probably has the word love on his lips more than any other word. Supposedly, he's out for your good. Now, all he can talk about is how God is love, and God loves us all, and we should love one another. And when that is truly understood, these are good things. But with all the talk of love, if someone is willing to lie to you, then that shows there's really hatred hidden in their heart towards you. And they're looking not to make you better, not to help you, but to hurt you. You know, love always seeks the good of its object. What is their lying tongue going to bring? Affliction. Trouble. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So those people who speak smooth, sugary, sweet messages that make people feel good and leaves them just as they are in their sins and tells them they're okay and that God accepts them without repentance and amendment of life, they're bringing about the ruin of souls. They're not doing anyone any good or any favors. It's a very terrible thing. So, Proverbs 28, verse 23 says, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." So when you hear someone saying, "Oh, you're not a sinner. God loves you just as you are. You don't have to repent or change your life. You're okay. God is love. He would never judge you." There's nothing, no such thing as judgment and hell and damnation, fire and brimstone. They deny all these things, and oh, it makes people feel so comfortable, so good. And yet, what is it doing? It's setting them up for sure ruin. And so when we tell people that they're sinners and God's a holy God and He hates sin and He's going to judge it, and a hell is awaiting all those who are impenitent, and you need to turn from your wicked ways and come to Christ and trust in Him, or you will be lost forever, you're doing that person a true good, a true favor. And God will bless that because He blesses His truth. And if that person comes to Christ, He'll be grateful for you having dealt plainly and honestly with him and told him like it is, not left him in a false hope and delusion thinking that it was all right with him without coming to Christ. And so, rebuke leads to more favor than flattery with the tongue. And so, yes, people will get mad and they'll turn away and they'll curse you for it, and yet, in the end, God will bless. And if God blesses, we're blessed indeed. It's amazing. 1 Timothy 4, it says there, verses 1 and 2, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." I'm sorry, yeah, chapter 4, verse 1. "Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Right, here's false teachers. And here's the cause of this: "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The devil being the chief liar. And notice how they followed the devil in their behavior. "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, hypocrisy means to put on a false appearance, to try to seem to be something you're not. And so they'll come to you claiming to be Christians, servants of God, preachers of His Word. And yet, it's all a false claim and a false appearance. They speak lies with a conscience that is seared as with a hot iron. Now, what does that mean? They'll look you straight in the eye, and they'll lie to you right through their teeth. They'll have a smile on their face when they do it. They won't even bat an eyelash. They've taught themselves and hardened themselves. Their conscience has become so calloused and deadened that they can lie without any qualms or conviction at all. Knowing they're doing it. Doing it intentionally. No shame. No fear. No guilt. And doing it knowing that they're doing it, and doing it so that they can get what they want from you. It's a terrible thing. Now, Psalm 12, it talks about the characteristics of the ungodly man, the unfaithful man. It talks about the rarity of good men. Verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Then he shows what the prevalent behavior was, even among those who claim to be servants of God. They speak vanity or emptiness, everyone with his neighbor. Notice, with flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud or high and great things. So notice, vanity, deception, you know, lying, double heart, flattery, pride and boasting. These are the characteristics of the ungodly, and certainly the characteristics of false teachers. Psalm 28 and verse 3, again, it shows the contrast between what they say and how it sounds and what's in their heart and their true motive and intention. It says, "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity." And he describes them like this, "which speak peace to their neighbors." Peace, peace. When there is no peace. Again, giving false hopes, false assurances, leading people into presumption and security rather than telling them their need and bringing upon them a soul concern that will bring them to flee to God for mercy and pardon. He says, they speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. In other words, the way they accomplish their mischief is by means of messages of peace. Psalm 10 tells us specifically what that is. And it's funny, I don't watch the religious programs on television, but it seems like the last few weeks, when I'm flipping through the channels, I come across them, and it's the same thing. You know, we have these special waters and special oils and special prayers and special anointings and special tools. And when you write to us or whatever they require or give to us, you will get so much money. God will just pour out His blessing on you and you'll be rich. You know, you'll get all this wealth. And it's the same theme I'm hearing over and over again, and I'm just catching a couple minutes. I'm not watching it any length of time to really find out what's going on. So if I catch it that easily, it must be an awful lot of it on there. But notice what it says in Psalm 10, verse 3. "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." Or it tells these people who all they want is money, and the only reason they're contributing to their ministry is to get more money for themselves, And of course, the only reason these people are conducting their ministry is to get more money for themselves. And so what they're saying is, God bless you. You just, you know, do what I require, whatever it might be. And everyone has their own little angle, even though there's a lot of similarities. And God will just pour out His blessing and give you so much money, and you'll have, you know, wealth and prosperity, and that'll show God's favor. In other words, the people come with a greediness, wanting money, and they bless them and tell them this is a good thing, and God is going to honor it and satisfy their desires. A very bad situation. False teachers are a lot like Absalom, David's wicked and rebellious, unnatural son. You know what Absalom did? He won his followers away from his father to himself by telling them whatever they wanted to hear, giving them whatever they were looking for. In 2 Samuel, chapter 15, remember Absalom had killed his brother and then he ran away to find refuge in a foreign land, and finally he was returned to Jerusalem and saw his father again. But notice what it says in 2 Samuel 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, he's coming to David, but then Absalom would intervene. It says, and Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right. Now, you have a good case here. You should be taken care of, but there is no man deputed to the king to hear thee. The king's not looking after the needs of his subjects. He's neglecting them. He's failing them. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that everyone which hath any case or any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. I'd give him what he's looking for every time. It was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, you know, show him respect as the king's son, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Oh boy, what a wonderful, friendly, affectionate, caring young man. What was it all for? And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And he used the influence he gained to turn the people against David and to try to take his life so that Absalom could have his throne. That's how false teachers are. And they look so good when they do it. False teachers appear to have great piety and humility and self-denial. They put on this picture of being so pious and so holy and so godly, so concerned. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't let anyone steal you and your soul's salvation. How? In a voluntary humility, a put-on humility, and worshiping of angels, a supposedly higher form of holiness and worship, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then verse 23 says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom, or an appearance, an outward show of being good and holy, in will worship. In other words, a worship that they themselves have invented, not the worship of God. And humility. And neglecting of the body. In other words, they go through all these outward shows of, you know, neglecting themselves and being humble, not in any honor. There's nothing truly honorable about it. It's only to the satisfying of the flesh. And so they use carnal fleshly means to gain their sinful worldly ends. False teachers appear to be zealous for the glory of God and for the good of souls. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. He's addressing God's true people here. He says, your brethren that hated you. As they professed to be brethren, and yet they hated God's people. You know, the Bible says, if any man hate his brother, he abides in death. So these were not true Christians, they were believers, only in appearance, only in profession, not in reality. He says, your brethren that hated you, notice, and cast you out for my name's sake. In other words, they kicked you out of my worship and service, saying they were doing it for me. And they said, let the Lord be glorified. In other words, he that kills you will claim he's doing God a service. He says, he shall appear to your joy. He's talking here to the true Christians who are suffering at the hands of the false believers. And they shall be ashamed. But notice, everything they did, it was wicked. But they did it, they said, for God's sake, and that He would be glorified. Galatians 4, verse 17, you have the same thing. You have these false teachers coming to the churches of Galatia and expressing a great concern for them and their well-being. They wanted to help them get further in their faith than Paul could bring them. To give them higher and better things than Paul had to offer when he preached to them the truth. He says in Galatians 4:17, they zealously affect you. They show a great zeal and affection toward you, but not well. Or is they're really causing you harm and are being anything but loving. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. They're trying to gain your allegiance and your love and your devotion to themselves, even though it cuts you off from God and His blessing. All they care about is their own gain. Everything they say, no matter how it sounds, no matter what it appears, it's far otherwise. In reality, it's only said for a desired effect. And the effect they're trying to accomplish is not to feed the sheep, but to fleece the sheep. We'll end in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Well, these are very important things for us to understand for our own protection, but especially we live in a day of widespread apostasy and false doctrine, and there are many people like this all over, and we're going to have to deal with it, and we need to be forewarned so that we can be forearmed. Ezekiel 34, 1-3. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. He's telling Ezekiel to preach a message against God's leaders. For those who claim to be God's leaders, they were the leaders of the people, but not for God. He says, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Notice, all they're looking out for is their own interests. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous to see shepherds with their flocks feeding their faces and their sheep dying for starvation. That's what's happening. You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. Notice, what are they feeding on? They're not feeding the sheep, they're feeding on the sheep. They're eating their flesh and clothing themselves with their wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. And then verses 7 to 10. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey. The shepherds are not supposed to be the wolves, but they are. And my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Or you're the shepherd, but they might as well have no shepherd, because you're not doing them any good. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. In other words, they've been poisoning the flock, and I'm not going to let them do it anymore. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. May God deliver us from false teachers. We don't want to become a prey. We want to be fed the good word of the Lord, that our souls might be nourished unto everlasting life, not poisoned by false teachers and only to perish forever. Let's close in prayer.